Now, was that not a chapter? It is a list, in essence, of all the things that you can eat and that you cannot eat. And you may well be asking yourself what all that has to do with us today. Well, listen closely. Are you ready? Mm-hmm. Do you, any of you, know the nutritional value of a cockroach? I mean, you don't carry that kind of stuff around in your head? Okay, well, how about the nutritional value of a grasshopper? Well, here's what's going to surprise you. Are you ready? Because I am so wise, I know such things. Given equal size and equal weight, the nutritional value of a cockroach and a grasshopper is the same. You get the same protein from the cockroach as you get from the grasshopper. So then, what was that? Okay. So why is it okay, according to Leviticus, to eat the grasshopper but not the cockroach? They're thinking, got them started here. And just for that matter, what is wrong with lobsters? In case you didn't notice it, you can't eat them either. They're on the do not eat list. Oh, you're sad now, aren't you? No cockroaches and no lobsters. Life is ruined. Well, let me explain this to you. Do you know what cockroaches eat? They eat garbage, okay? Did you ever hear anyone say garbage in, garbage out? Do you like garbage? Of course not. And what about lobsters? Well, first of all, they are bottom feeders. They scrape the stuff up that's laying on the bottom dead. But in addition to that, consider to whom God gave these dietary laws. At the time they were given in the book of Leviticus, the Jews were nomadic desert wanderers. Now, where do lobsters live? And if you found one of those suckers roaming around in the desert, what condition do you suspect it might be in? Okay? And remember, they had no refrigeration. So even if you ordered one from your favorite seacoast restaurant, imagine what it would look like by the time it arrived. And remember, it would be traveling unrefrigerated by camel. Which, by the way, you also can't eat. I remember when I was a boy that my dad used to have these big crab feasts at their house down on the Chesapeake Bay. They'd invite all the neighbors in. He'd get bushels of crabs. And the fun thing about the crab feast was that before he put the crabs in the pot, he let us kids check to see whether the crabs were alive. Because you couldn't cook a dead one. Because they spoil fast. And if you found a dead one, you would never want to eat it. Now, crabs and lobsters, in my mind, are a lot alike. Okay, and so what the scripture is warning us about is eating stuff that could hurt us. So no cockroaches. And be careful about your lobster. Let me set some things straight about Leviticus chapter 11 and the Jewish dietary laws. The first thing I want you to know about this chapter is that these laws were not new when they were given to Moses. If you open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 7, verses 1 to 10, it's the story of Noah and the ark, you will discover that Noah was to divide the animals up according to clean and unclean animals. These distinctions and values were old by the time of Moses. They weren't new. Way back when, people understood you didn't eat lobsters found in the desert. They were common sense regulations that people had followed for years and years and years, and which God was simply reiterating in the passage that was read to you. And number two, these distinctions or these designations were not judgments on the critters. God made them all, folks. And the scripture says that at the time of creation, he looked at what he had made and he pronounced everything he had made as good. The designation clean or unclean carries no moral value. It simply relates to the acceptability of each animal as food. Got it? It's not judgment on the critter. And number three, the issue here is always health. Unclean animals like cockroaches and rats and lobsters in the desert and pigs were unsafe to eat because they carried diseases. In fact, if Europe had followed the rules found in Leviticus 11 related to the treatment of rats, they could have avoided the great plagues that spread throughout Europe by rats and by fleas carried by rats. The simple fact here is that the issue in this chapter is health. It's impressive to me that God not only worries about your spirit, but about your body too, and lays down for us regulations whose primary importance is our physical health. And then number four, these rules must have seemed as ridiculous to the ancient peoples as they do to us today. Maybe more so, because they lacked our modern understanding of diseases and how diseases spread by germs and viruses and microbes. They could not look at these rules with our deep modern perspective and see that in them, God was attempting to protect his people from countless problems. They could not see the reason behind God's rules as we often cannot see the reason behind God's rules. And to make it even better, even if they had understood the reason, they didn't have the technology to handle it. If you'll just let me, the problem is often with us that God says in his book, do it this way. And we being his wise children, okay, I just want you to think of your own children as parents now, okay? We being such wise children, God's wise children, we don't see the reason behind it. So we say, in effect, that God doesn't know what he's talking about. He just doesn't understand us. You kids never think that about your parents, do you? You parents never heard such a thing from your kids, did you? You never thought that way when you were a kid, certainly, did you? See, the rules just don't seem to make sense because we don't understand what's behind the rules. The truth is that the one who doesn't understand is not God. It's us. Because he sees what we don't. He wants to protect us from what's out there to hurt us. And if he told us the reason behind the rule, we would still go, because we can't understand what he's talking about. We don't understand. Can you imagine the faces the Hebrews would have made if God had sat there and tried to tell them about germs and viruses and microbes? About little worms that live in pigs? About fleas on rats? But he speaks out of concern for our protection. Protection from that which we maybe cannot see and do not understand, and certainly do not have the technology to control. Obeying God, even when we don't understand the reason behind God's rule, is the definition of holiness. And that is the point of the chapter which Jeff read to you this morning. Literally, God says to Israel, "Trust me. I know of what I speak. I am Yahweh. I am your God. I am holy. Follow my instructions, and you will be holy too. Do what I say, and my word will keep you safe." Wait a minute, you say. Pastor, do you mean that God expects blind loyalty from me? Do you mean, Pastor, that I am supposed to do whatever God says, even if I don't understand why? Do you mean, Pastor, that God expects me to obey him without question? Well, yeah! That is exactly what I mean. You ready for this? God knows more than we do. God always acts in our best interest, even when we don't appreciate it. You can trust God to know more about you and about any other subject you may want to mention than you know. In fact, given that alone, that he knows more than you do about anything you might know something about, that in and of itself would make it wise to listen to God in all matters and to obey him without question. Can I just answer a question? Is God perfect? If you won't follow the advice of someone who is perfect, what's that make you? Stupid! Given all that I have said, why wouldn't you obey God? And the simple fact is that if you choose not to obey God, the one who is dumb, the one who is stupid, is you. It's really dumb not to listen to him who knows everything. So number 5, about the dietary rules. When the situation changed, God changed the instructions. You know, I hate this one. I hate this, but it's true. Okay. I want you first of all to know that this is extremely rare. It is extremely rare. Okay, when God sets down the rules, he means for the rules to be followed throughout time, or at least until the moment when he says you don't have to keep that rule anymore. It's not up to us to decide when God changes the rules. But because he is a loving parent, when the situation changes, we can depend upon him to change the rules if it is possible and proper to change the rules. So when the situation is no longer threatening and we don't have to stay away from that anymore, it is reasonable for us to expect God to change the rules. But it is rare. In this case, if you were to look at Mark chapter 7, verse 1, if you were to look at Acts chapter 9, or chapter 10, verses 9 to 16, if you were to read Romans chapter 14 through the end of chapter 15, if you were to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 8, you would find that God said to his people at the appropriate time, every animal is good for food. You may eat whatever you choose. Now, I'm going to be really honest with that. That means if you would like to have fried cockroaches for lunch today, it is perfectly fine with God. In some cultures today, where you will go, they will serve you fried rat, and you can eat it if you want. Okay? If you want a rabbit, even though it's on the unclean list in the book of Leviticus, eat it. If you want to have lobster, that's fine too. Because in his wisdom, when he knew it was safe, God changed the rule. And he said to his children, those he loved, okay now, lobster's safe. Eat it. He did it through special revelation. Now, special revelation is dangerous. Okay? Because special revelation is when God comes to you in a dream or a vision and tells you something that he wants you to do or not do. Okay? And what I want you to understand is that today, in this time, the scripture, the word of God, is supreme. So if you get a special revelation and God tells you to do something that is contrary to what's written in his word, do not do it. Because it is Satan, not God, who is messing with your mind. What happened in this case is that God came through special revelation, not once, but several times, to hugely respected and admired and reliable men and said, here. And he showed them the vision. And they got together and discussed it and said, God is telling us something new for our time that we should listen to. It don't happen in secret, folks. If God comes to you and to you alone in dream and says you should go murder your pastor because I'm telling you to, do not listen to that voice. Okay? It is not of God, and it is highly unlikely today that he will speak to tell the church or anyone else to do something different than he has always told us to do. However, in this case, God, out of his love for his people, changed the rule. Because of what he knows. So here's the deal. I'm going to say it again. If you would like to have fried cockroaches today for lunch, go ahead, but I'm not coming over. If you decide to have lobster for lunch, I might come. However, I prefer pork.